Please be seated. This morning, Chief Justice Nancy Seda is with me on this panel because of conflict with Justice Gibbons. Justice Perigary is not here with us today. He had other business that keeps him away, but he will be reviewing the tape and the video of this argument presented this day. He has read the material that's going to be presented. If the parties are ready to proceed, this is 57003, RB Properties, Inc., a Nevada Corporation, and South Pointe Properties, Inc., a Nevada Corporation versus Clark County Political Subdivision. If you wish to reserve any time, please do so, and please state your name for the records.
Brian Terry and Ken Lund, appearing on behalf of appellants.
Rob Rivola, Jeff Troll, appearing on behalf of respondents, Clark County.
And I would like to have 2 minutes, Your Honor, for rebuttal.
That's fine.
Honorable the Court, it's a privilege to be here today. We thank you for this opportunity. My name is Brian Terry. I happen to represent the appellates in this case, RB Properties and South Pointe Properties. We are appealing from the lower court's granting of a motion for summary judgment that dealt with a regulatory takings claim that was brought on behalf of my clients. In 1998, an ordinance was passed by Clark County at the request of the Nevada Resort Association to amend an ordinance that defined what is a resort hotel. The impact of that change significantly had an impact on my client, who was in the process of developing a resort hotel casino in the Laughlin area and had been doing so for a number of years. The ordinance, as it was changed, required certain items to be included under that definition, if you could satisfy that definition, meaning a $50 million aggregate per property had to be included, as well as certain space limitations and amounts of space in the facility for retail, gaming, and so forth. When the hotel definition, or when the resort hotel definition was previously in the ordinance, my client satisfied the particular definitions. When it was put in play after 1998, he did not. My client is Robert Bilbray. He is the president of RB Properties and also the president of South Pointe Properties. He lives in Laughlin, Nevada, and he's been there approximately 25 years. During the time that he's been there, he has 6 active gaming licenses. He has done commercial and residential development over that time period. And the project that he was seeking to develop at the time was South Bay. It was a hotel, resort, casino project that would be phased over a period of time that was really suitable to the Laughlin area, with 3 hotels that were going to be about 300 rooms each, and then 2 hotels coming on later at 500 rooms each. Going along with the hotel was the gaming aspect, and being able to have an unlimited live gaming license, as well as having a Class C slot license, was paramount.
Mr. Chair, let me ask you a question. Is your argument that your client met all of the necessary qualifications for his plan pre-1998?
Yes, Your
Honor. Is it really that simple?
It's that simple, yes, Your Honor.
Okay, and so when the new definitions and considerations became a part of the code, he would have or perhaps should have filed some other notices and use restrictions, etc. Is that a fair statement?
That could be accurate, yes. Okay. Notification was never provided to the Laughlin Citizenry or the Town Board in Laughlin of the change in the ordinance. That was one of the issues that we've raised. And when it was passed in 1998, it wasn't until about a year and a half or 2 years later that my client finally became aware of it.
Counsel,
in discussions
are
with
you asserting that no public hearing was held by the county commissioners as to this change whatsoever?
The public hearing, Your Honor, was held, yes. The information we've obtained from Jackie Brady, who is the Laughlin Town Manager, as well as the other individuals in Laughlin, they never received notification. We believe that is what the facts will establish at the time of trial. That notice wasn't provided. Because in the change of needing to satisfy a resort hotel, in order to obtain a gaming license of unlimited restriction, as well as a Class C slot license, you had to satisfy that condition of a resort hotel,
in this
which
process,
my client couldn't do.
If I understand the factual nature of this, and I understand your client had been working with the county for some time since this began prior to the change in the code, and they had submitted some plans, and I understand they submitted plans for a hotel Nothing indicated they were going to have gaming in that property. Additionally, I understand that, or the biggest bone of contention seems to be the failure to make application for conditional use permit that would have, in essence, I'll use the term, grandfathered them in, so to speak, for the prior regulations, but that seems to be the crux of where we're at. Was that required or not?
Your Honor, under the Williamson U.S. Supreme Court case, right, in order to have a vested right in property, generally you have to make appropriate application.
Well, let's talk about that, because this is a little unique. We kind of splurge sideways a little bit if we're talking purely property. But we're not talking about property, because at some points the county is, at least based on how this is presented, interfering with your right to build a hotel. What is that issue is a resort hotel. And so we come into the area of gaming. And so we talk about privilege versus right. And in the gaming theater, quite often, you have no real interest until you have a gaming license. And in the case, if I understand the record correctly, the gaming license was never applied for or issued for this particular piece of ground. And so those are things that I'd like to hear about why we should adopt this. I understand the case you're talking about. Why should we adopt this?
Let me address both of those. First, the use permit as well as in the gaming license, okay? On the use permit, Your Honor, candidly, we did not apply for the use permit. It was an oversight on the engineering firm who was doing the project for us. In fact, Judge Gonzalez in the lower court clearly asked me, did you file for the use permit? And we indicated no. As it relates to being able to satisfy all the discretionary activity that needs to be done by the county in order to have this vested right, the use permit generally is one. It is our position, Your Honor, based on the affidavit of Kathy Littlefield, who worked for the county for over 30 years in this specific area, clearly said, based on all the activity that we had done, the hydrology studies, the environmental studies, traffic, et cetera, zoning plans that have been filed, that there would be no doubt that a use permit would be issued by the county. So the evidence that we have in the lower court is based on the testimony of Kathy Littlefield that if the application had been made, it clearly would have been granted. The application would be made, Your Honor, as we pursued along the path, save and except for the ordinance change that we couldn't satisfy.
But somewhere we're missing something. You've made the representation that your client was unaware that the county was making this change in their regulations to require additional things for this gaming license.
That is true.
But yet, we don't have a full challenge as to the adoption of this new regulation.
The activity that was undertaken, Your Honor, as a challenge to it is as follows. The Laughlin Town Advisory Board petitioned Clark County Commissioners if they would go ahead and do a variance or an exception to Laughlin, and they were informed no. My client then dealt with Bruce Woodbury, who was the commissioner for Laughlin, and requested to please let's deal with the Nevada Resort Association and the commissioners to do what we can do to have an exception or variance made. Commissioner Woodbury sent a letter off to William Bible at the time and was responded no, that the changes that they requested were not going to be made. They were invited to come to a public hearing at the Nevada Resort Association, which they did. My client, Commissioner Woodbury, Jackie Brady from Laughlin Town Advisory Board, and others appeared to deal with the Nevada Resort Association, indicating that it may be appropriate here in Las Vegas to have these requirements, but it clearly isn't in the Laughlin area. After their argument, the Resort Association indicated they would not make recommendations to the commissioners to go ahead and make those appropriate changes. In fact, it was requested of Clark County to at least put on the agenda so this matter could be discussed, and they were refused that opportunity to do so.
But those were things after the fact.
That was after the fact, of finding out about the change in the ordinance.
So you're asking this court to accept, at least as the premise of your argument, that you can fail to file an appropriate use permit. You can be engaged in what sounds like at least an awareness of a change in code and still do nothing, and then we're supposed to just overlook all of those failures to comply and give you an opportunity to go down below and try this case.
Your Honor, in answering that question, one, yes, we are requesting that we did not have the necessity or need to file for the use permit. There's this fine line of an effervescent hope of wanting to develop a project where you come all the way over here where the project's done. And on this line, we have this determination where that vested right applies. We were almost all the way to the end of this line, Your Honor, with documentation that, in fact, the use permit would have been provided to us, and we just hadn't completed it. It was at the time these changes
would have been given to you had you applied for it.
Yes, Your Honor, there's no question if we had gone ahead and applied for the use permit, we
wouldn't
agree
be here.
Well, we wouldn't be here on that issue, that's correct.
Sure.
The futility doctrine is another reason why we would still be here. It is argued by Clark County that we failed to at least apply for the licenses. You know, we didn't apply for the gaming license. We didn't apply for a business license. We didn't apply for those things. It was our position, Your Honor, that the futility doctrine, as articulated by the U.S. Supreme Court in Palazzolo, clearly notes that if, in fact, you know the outcome, you don't really need to file applications solely for application's sake. Based on what activity we did underdo, and we knew what the outcome was going to be from the Nevada Resort Association and their advice to Clark County, they never were going to change the ordinance and give us a variance or an exception. So there was no need for us to go ahead and file for the licenses and undertake that expense, et cetera, because, again, it would be futile. And we are requesting the court to adopt the Palazzolo analysis and, on the facts of this particular case, make a determination that, in fact, applying for those licenses would have been futile, which then would satisfy the rightness requirement. As it relates to the other factual issues that the county argued, Your Honors, in the lower court on the vested property right interest, there were two others. One was zoning. We argue, Your Honor, that we did have zoning complete. In 1994, the vast majority of the property had been zoned H1. There was another small section of about 12 acres that was in the process of being zoned, and it eventually was zoned. So of the three areas that the county argues we were deficient in, clearly we had zoning. Two, the final was the use permit, which we believe we clearly would have gotten based on the testimony of past individuals who worked for Clark County. The third was the design issue.
There still is kind of a quandary based on having read the material that both sides were submitted, and I applaud the effort that was placed in it to make it as clear as possible for us. The question of the new requirement, this $50 million in real property improvements and so on, of whether or not your client might have met that when you aggregated based upon the nature and scope of this project. That seemed to be never tested out to see if they even fell within that, which is kind of just a question of when you talk about futility. That's this area that was never really put on the board as to whether they might have been able to meet that based on all the investment that was made as to water usage and fire protection and all these other things and donations to the county and so on and trying to put this project together.
I agree with Your Honor that it was never put to the test to see if it would satisfy the $50 million requirement. The reason, however, was the project was a phased project. We're the developers of the project. We knew exactly how much we were going to expend on the first tower that was going to be built. It came nowhere near the $50 million requirement, nor did it come near the requirement of the 10,000 square feet that was required for residential or for retail space. So we knew we weren't going to be able to satisfy it on this phased approach. There was no variance that was contained at all in the ordinance that would have allowed us to say, you know, Laughlin's only 9,000 people compared to the couple million up here in Las Vegas. You know, cut us a little slack and let us go ahead and you know, do it at a smaller rate of the project. Since that variance wasn't included in the ordinance, like it is in many of the other ordinances that have been cited by the parties, we were tied. We felt the futility doctrine would be applicable because after going through the steps we did, we knew we were unable to satisfy it based on the phase approach. Even taking into account, Your Honor, the millions of dollars that have been expended for the offsite improvements and everything else and all the issues that have been that we referenced in our brief, it still wasn't going to satisfy that amount for the first phase project. I thank you. I've reserved 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Rob Warhola for Clark County. I'm going to start off before the 1998 amendment. In 1994, December of 1994, appellants obtained approval of a zone change request to H1. They did not request a use permit for a casino. They could have, at the same time they applied for a zone change, asked for a use permit for a casino. They did not.
So then you're disputing the response that Appella gave to my question, which was the two-part question, that he believes that his client was in full compliance before the 1998 amendment.
Yes, I am disputing that statement. The appellant's site plan showed a hotel without a casino. There was an atrium area. It had shuffleboard, a pool,
horseshoes, some other things. There was no casino in that center area. The site plan showed one hotel, didn't say casino hotel, said hotel, and four other future hotels. Didn't say anything about a casino. The plan depicted the hotels on the south side of the property. The north side of the 188 acres did not have any hotels planned on it. The zone change was approved, but no use permit for a casino was approved because none was requested. Upon approval of the zone change, the appellants were informed by the county, one, they needed to apply use permits for final plans. Two, the notice of final action stated, approval of this application does not constitute approval of a liquor and gaming license or any other issued permit, license, or approval. Since the plans did not include a casino, it didn't qualify at that time for a liquor and gaming license. But it didn't also qualify for other reasons, because at the time, in 1994, other amenities were required. It was supposed to have a 24-hour restaurant. Their plans did not show a restaurant at all. It was supposed to have a main bar. It didn't have any at the time. It was supposed to have an entertainment facility. It did not have an entertainment facility. It did not qualify in 1994 for the liquor and gaming license. Nearly 4 years passed. They could have filed their use permit for a casino. They did not. in October of 1998, Clark County amended its business license and added the additional amenities that the court has already spoken of, including the $50 million requirement in either a capital investment or appraised value.
It's been stated, and you heard it, in terms of the notice of that ordinance change, and that the individual in question, RB Properties, is disputing that they were had knowledge of this regulation being changed. Is this an issue the court should consider?
It's not an issue, Your Honor. The complaint only included a takings claim. It did not include a due process claim. Whether or not they had notice, I don't know, but it was a public hearing, and without a due process claim, that issue is not before the court at this time. Which brings us to today. 14 years have passed. Appellants still own most of the portion of the property that was planned for hotels, if not all of that. If you look at the traffic study, it showed the hotels planned on the south side, and if you look at pages 221 and 214 of the record, it says that the hotels comprise of 65 acres of the 180 acres of property. On page 501 of the record, they said they sold property that's now zoned R2, and there's a residential subdivision, but they still own the south 65 acres where the hotels were proposed to be located. And so when I got the case, I looked at it and realized that they still own the property. I brought it to their attention, and I also brought it to the court's attention, well, they need to, if they want a casino, a resort hotel with a casino, they need to go through the process and jump through all the hoops like everyone else, including getting their use permit and design review approvals, and including applying for the liquor and gaming license. They did not, and so two legal issues were raised. Whether or not they had a vested property right to a resort hotel with a casino. The second main issue was whether their claim was right. And based on that, we moved to dismiss and moved for summary judgment. Now, they're claiming an interest in a liquor and gaming license. And I cited a case, Corey B. Robinson, that said that the acquisition of a gaming license and use permit constitutes a privilege and not a property right or a property interest. So therefore, they cannot have a property interest in this liquor and gaming license that their claim is causing a taking. And without that property interest, there's no takings claim. In response to that, they failed to contest Corey B. Robinson. They cited no case that states that you can have a property interest in a gaming license. From a land use perspective, they do not have a vested right in gaming. First of all, they don't have a development agreement. If they had a development agreement at the time, they could have locked in the codes. The section of the NRS is 278.0201 through 0205. They don't have a development agreement, and so they were subject to a change in the laws, and they failed to obtain their discretionary approvals. And there's a long line of cases that say in order to have a vested right, you must obtain all your discretionary approvals, and then you must substantially rely on the approvals granted. Since they never obtained their discretionary approvals, They don't have a vested right in a resort hotel gaming, and therefore their takings claim fails. In response, appellants concede they never obtained a use permit or a design review for a casino. Instead, they argue they don't need to obtain the discretionary approvals. They argue, well, there was an understanding that between the appellants and the county that this resort hotel would be built. There was this understanding. But there is no implied vested right in Nevada, and federal courts don't recognize an implied vested right. And I cited the Peterson case that expressly discusses that issue about implied vested rights. And the idea of an implied vested right is contrary to the stratosphere and all the other cases that say you have to obtain all your discretionary approvals. And also, there's no implied development agreement. The NRS section I cited previously states that you have to have a written agreement. And so it can't be an implied understanding or implied development agreement that we would have given them a resort hotel casino. The appellants also argue that they had a property interest in a hotel casino because they had a reasonable investment-backed expectation to the resort hotel gaming license. There are two steps in the Penn Central analysis. One is to determine whether or not a constitutionally protected property right exists. And the second is whether a taking occurred.
Counsel, in that area, they cite Sisolak. How do you distinguish that as in this instance?
Sisolak was a per se regulatory taking. If you look at Sisolak, the very first thing the court addressed was whether or not a property interest existed. The court determined first that a property interest existed and then went through the takings analysis. It then determined that a taking occurred because basically the county acquired an easement and allowed the public airplanes to fly through the property owner's airspace. But that was a per se regulatory taking. But again, the takings analysis was made after the court determined that a property interest existed. Basically, what the appellants are trying to do is take one of the factors of the Penn Central's taking step, that is whether or not there was the regulation interfered with a reasonable investment-backed expectation, and apply it to the first part of the Penn Central test, and then out of that say, hey, we had a reasonable investment expectation, so therefore we had a property right. And again, in my brief, I cited the cases that say that's inappropriate to do that, Peterson and Bernizer cases. If right has not vested, is not a property interest protected by the Constitution, the reasonable investment-backed expectation comes into the takings part of the analysis and whether or not there's interference and to determine whether or not a takings occur. And finally, you can't have a vested right in a traffic study. We do preliminary studies all the time. A traffic study provides information which we can base our decision on whether or not to approve or deny a use permit. And if someone could claim an entitlement or a vested right in a traffic study, then I think that would circumvent the discretionary approval process. The second reason we move for dismissal is because the appellant's claims are not right. They're not right for two reasons. First, they don't even qualify for the business license or same claim or cause to take it. They don't have their zoning approvals or land use approvals. They have their zoning, not their land use, use permit, and design review. Because of that, they can't even apply today for the license they're claiming cause of taking because the Clark County zoning and business license codes require that you have all your land use approvals in place before you apply for a license. They don't have that, so their claim's not right. The second reason their claim is not right is because of Williamson County. Federal constitutional law requires a property owner to at least make one meaningful application, apply to the regulatory body, and get a decision from that body on the ordinance that you're claiming cause of taking. They have not done that. They're claiming that they satisfied the meaningful application requirement because they spoke to Commissioner Woodbury, and Commissioner Woodbury determined that the ordinance would not be rescinded or informed that ordinance would not be rescinded. But that's not the same as actually applying to Clark County and getting a determination or decision from the county itself. A refusal to modify does not equal a meaningful application. The second reason they argue that they do not have to file an application is because they claim it would be futile to do so. They rely on the Palazzolo case, which is a wetlands case. This is not even remotely similar to a wetlands case. In the Palazzolo case, the municipality denied two applications, refusing to allow the property owner to do anything with a portion of their property. During one of those determinations, the municipality even determined that the property owner did not qualify to file a special exception. The property owner challenged that decision and went to court, and that decision was upheld. Then they filed a takings claim. Ultimately, the Supreme Court determined that it was futile to apply. The municipality had already made a decision, but they didn't qualify for that special exception.
Counsel asked that last issue. Isn't that what they're asserting, that they're saying it was futile to apply because of the requirement number 9 as of that $50 million investment? And I guess part and parcel that it was almost absolute. There was no discretion within this as to how you came up with those numbers.
I think there's a lot of discretion. The business, assuming they obtained all the licenses and qualified to apply for the license, the license ordinance states that you get credit for improvements made. It doesn't define what the improvements are, it just says improvements, the value of the land, and personal property. And it can be based on appraised value, the appraised value that the appellant actually submits to the county. And so in this case, they're claiming that they made millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars in improvements in the area. Also that there's the value of the land that they own, and also the personal property that they've placed inside the casino. Certainly that would be an issue that the county would address and exercise its discretion on how to apply those monies, whether or not they would apply it to the improvements or not. Personally, I think they would, but if they didn't, that would give the courts more information on the economic impact or the interference that the regulation causes on their proposed project. And that's the whole purpose behind the rightness doctrine, is to get a decision from the municipality so that the courts can determine, the economic impact and the interference that the regulation causes. I wanted to address another issue about, it was raised in a reply, I didn't get to respond because it was raised in a reply, but they're arguing it was futile to apply because they sold the property. Well, first of all, they didn't sell the portion of the property where the hotels were located. The proposed hotels were located on the south part of the property. The portion that they sold that is now zoned R2 is on the north part of the property. And so that's what, when we went to district court, we're saying, well, just go apply. If you want this hotel, resort hotel, then go apply. And the district court continued to give them an opportunity to apply, and they never did. The second thing I'd like to raise on that is it's really not relevant. It's not relevant that they sold the property and can't apply. Because if you look at the Palazzolo decision distinguishes direct condemnation, such as the Argyers case that this court decided, and Penn Central cases on determining when a claim vests. In Palazzolo, and I'll give you that page number, I think it's page 628. In Palazzolo, the claim vests and matures after all the rightness requirements are satisfied. Assuming for a second that they sold the property before they ripened their claim, then they didn't have a claim. And then that's what Palazzolo says, which is different from Argyers. I think in Argyers the claim vested when the power company entered the property and actually put power on it. In closing, yeah, that's true. There's no due process claim. They mentioned rational basis in their brief, but there's no equal protection or substantive due process claims. They talk about the Nevada Constitution and ask for expansive rights. Well, first of all, it's contrary to the existing case law, but also they didn't plead for it. There's nothing in their complaint that asks for relief in the Nevada Constitution. And in conclusion, Your Honors, on that basis, we're asking the court to uphold the district court's decision and grant a summary judgment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me go ahead quickly, Your Honor, and just address some of the items that were brought up during counsel's presentation. As it relates to gaming being part of the project, there's no question that in the traffic study, there's many documents that have been produced in the case, but in the traffic study, for example, it deals with the property being a resort hotel casino. Okay, so there is reference made in the documents that have been produced that clearly gaming was going to be anticipated in the project. As it relates to being able to do it now, obviously economic differences or economic situations are different. All of the property we don't own of the 188 acres, which was anticipated to be used, just because we may happen to own the footprint where one of the towers was going to be, a lot of the other portions that were going to make this complete complex, we do not own. And the $50 million requirement still is the issue that phasing this project, we would not be able to satisfy that requirement. Even taking into account, it is our contention that in the lower court, the documentation and the testimony would have established that we would not satisfy the $50 million requirement that is still there, that would need to be satisfied, even if you take into account all the other offsites, the value of the property, et cetera, for the first phase. So we clearly still wouldn't be able to satisfy it. This is a situation, Your Honors, where we were in the process of putting together a project where an ordinance was changed that required us to be able to get the gaming licenses, that we had to meet certain requirements, and we knew we were unable to do so. We did take activity in us to go ahead and deal with the Culler County Commissioners to have a variance or have it changed. Unfortunately, we were never successful in that endeavor. We could see it was futile. That's why the futility doctrine in Palo Lozo is applicable to us. It is further our contention that in the lower court, we will be able to establish that, yes, the use permit would have been issued to us, the design issues would have been resolved, thus we would have had that constitutionally protected right in property that was violated by the ordinance being changed.
Counsel, let's go back to two questions based on what was presented. One was the issue as to the effect of no development agreement, and additionally the waiver of the due process issue that we've been kind of tiptoeing around.
The due process issue, Your Honor, we included in our brief that we had never been informed of the change in the ordinance for purposes of how that relates to the futility doctrine in a takings analysis. That was what it was. We do have no claim or in our complaint for due process violation. It was to deal with that particular issue as to why we had not done things previously. Mr. Bilbray is actually very active in a variety of political endeavors, and you know he'd been informed of it. I'm sure other applications would have been done, but that was the reason for that. And the second request, Your Honor, was?
Development agreement that would have kind of gotten you around the conditional use permit issue.
Agreed it wasn't there. We were still in that process of moving forward. We were in that process of undertaking what needed to be done to develop the property. There's no doubt we don't dispute that the use permit was never applied for, and we don't dispute those other issues that have occurred. But those issues would have been satisfied. If the matter is remanded back to the district court, it needs to be informed to the district court that the bright line rule that you have to have satisfaction of all of the discretionary functions isn't the case. That if you are able to establish that, in fact, you would have had those, if, in fact, this ordinance hadn't been brought into effect, you then are able to go ahead and have that property right. Thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. This matter will stand submitted. I thank counsel for both sides for the arguments made this day. They were very helpful. And we appreciated the just brass tacks good lawyering as of this issue. Thank you. The court will stand in short recess as we